Now, I wanted Taylor to come up and share with us that little bit this morning, not only because I thought you needed to hear that, but it just fits my message today, too. This morning, I want to talk to you for just a few moments about the power of generosity. And the title of my message is, It Pays to Be Generous. It pays to be generous. It really, really does. Jesus said this. Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Now, how many of you know that is just absolutely counterculture to the United States? Isn't that right? That's just opposite of everything we are bombarded with. Every message that we're bombarded with, Jesus just said just the opposite. It is more blessed to give than to receive. So this morning we're going to talk about why is it a blessing? Why is it a blessing, as Jesus said, to be generous, to be a giver? Why does it pay to be generous? And there's so many things I could say about this, but I'm going to give you three things this morning. Three things that explain to us or tell us why it pays to be generous. The first thing is this: generosity reflects God's generosity. Generosity is a reflection of the fact that we have a generous God. Church, remember this: everything we have comes from a generous God. Amen? Everything we have comes from a generous God. The passage of Scripture I had you look up, Acts chapter 17 and verse 25, says this: God himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. God gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. Every blessing we have in our life, we have because we have a generous God. God has been so good to us in so many ways. I want you to say this with me. Everything I have comes from God. Everything I have comes from God. That's the truth. Every good thing we have in life, we have because we have a generous God. And I can just personally testify to that in my life. I know you can too. I can look back at my life and I can say, wow, God has been so good to me. God has been so good to me. He has blessed me in so many ways. God has provided for me. He has met our family's needs. God has been with us all along the way. God has blessed us so many times, time and time and time again. But not only has God blessed us materially, financially, God has also blessed me with his love. He has been generous with his love. We've been singing a song lately. We didn't do it this morning. It just talks about the simple gospel. The simple gospel. Never lose that awe and wonder of the simple gospel. Let that verse, John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Never let that verse get old to you. Always think about that verse with great awe and wonder. God has been so generous with his love toward us. Amen? But not only has God been generous with me when it comes to material things and it comes to his love, God has also been generous with forgiveness. Now, I'm going to tell you something that's going to blow your mind. You're probably not going to believe this, but God has forgiven me more than one time in my life. That, I know, you find that hard to believe. But more than one time in my life, I've had to ask God to forgive me. Aren't you glad that God doesn't give us three strikes and then you're out? How many of you, God has just, he's been generous when it comes to forgiveness of your sins. He's been generous with you. He's been generous with me. And I'm just so thankful that when it comes to forgiveness, God is a generous God. What if there was a sin limit with God? I mean, what if God said, okay, I'm going to forgive you, but I'm going to only forgive you X amount of times. Okay? So just imagine, this is just how my brain works. You know the odometer in your car? Imagine you've got one of those on your forehead, but it's a sinometer. Yeah, it's a sinometer. And every time you commit a sin, it just keeps going. I mean, you have a lustful thought, bing. You complain about something, bing. You just, every time you sin, every time you gossip, every lie you tell, whatever it is, every time you covet something, every prideful thought, just every time, this your sinometer goes off, and it just keeps clicking and clicking and clicking. Do you imagine? And then God says, okay, I'm a really generous, I'm a really forgiving God, and I'm going to give you 10,000 sins in your life. I'm going to give you 10,000 sins, and I'm going to forgive you a lot of times. But once that thing turns over to 10,000, the ground is going to open up before you, and you're going to go right through a chute, right straight to hell. What if God did that to us? And God was just generous, but only so generous. And we had a limit. Aren't you thankful? How many of you guys think you'd make it? 10,000 sins. Not one hand is up in this place. What a bunch of sinners. Yeah, we'd have to admit, look, we'd all be in big trouble if God put a limit on his grace. If God put a limit on his forgiveness. Now, we should never live life to take advantage of God's generosity. We should never live life with that attitude. But I tell you this, I'm thankful for it. Amen? I am thankful that we serve a forgiving God, and he has been generous with forgiveness. You know another way God has been generous with me? God has been generous with his words with me. You should read, because you know, we should all be generous with our words. We can speak words of criticism of people, or we can be generous with our words about people. Isn't that right? That's a choice we make every single day. And when it comes to words, God has been so generous with me. You should read some of the stuff God says about me in his book. God, in this book, he calls me his child. God, in this book, he says I'm more than a conqueror. That's what God says about me. God, in his book, he calls me chosen. He calls me redeemed. He calls me, get this one, God calls me a saint. He calls me a saint. God has said so many good things about me. And trust me, if God chose to, there's a lot of bad things God could say about me. There's a lot of bad things God could say about me. But God chooses to say good things about me. Isn't that awesome? God is so good. He is so generous with his words. You know another way God has been generous with me? God is always generous with his time with me. God just tells me, I'll spend as much time as you want with me. Tim, I'll take time with you. And furthermore, Tim, you don't need an appointment. You don't have to call ahead. I'll spend time with you whenever you want. God is so generous with his time. Amen? I don't have to wait in line. I don't have to make an appointment. And there's no time limit with God. I don't sit down for my morning devotions and have God say at the very beginning, look, I got a busy day. I only have 15 minutes for you today. God's never said that to me once. God's always said, hey, I'll take as much time with you today, Tim, as you want. You don't need an appointment. And Tim, I'll talk to you whenever you want to. You don't have to go through a secretary. I don't have to check my appointment book. Tim, I always have time for you. How many of you say that is generous? We have a generous God, a generous God. And so the fitting, the proper way to reflect the generosity of God is for us to be generous people. I mean, if God has been generous with us, who are we to be stingy? Who are we to be stingy with our words? Who are we to be stingy with our time? Who are we to be stingy with our money? Who are we to not be generous when we are children of a God who has been so generous to us? This is why it pays to be generous. We're just reflecting back to God how generous he's been to us. If anybody in this whole wide world should be generous, it should be those of us who know Jesus Christ. Amen? I mean, we should shine like stars in the universe with the generosity of God. God has been so generous to us. There's a second thing that generosity will do for you. Generosity helps us to keep our heart set on that which is really important. Generosity helps me keep my heart set on the kingdom of God. Okay, here's what Jesus said, Matthew chapter 6. He said, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy." I've always liked that word, vermin. "And where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And we just know that this is true practically, right? That things that we spend our money on, things that we invest in, I'm not a stocks person, I don't invest in stocks, but I'll promise you, if I put my entire life savings into stocks, I'd start paying attention to that stock, right? I'd know what was happening with that stock. Why? Because where my treasure is, there my heart would be also, right? So it's just like practical life. Where we invest, we pay attention, all right? Now, I'm not a motorcycle guy. Some of you are. But if you invest, and I don't know, how much can a person spend like on a really nice Harley? I mean, I know it's a lot. I mean, how much? $40,000? Over 60. Okay, I mean, if you spend $50,000, $50,000 on a motorcycle, I promise you, you're going to pay attention to that motorcycle. I mean, if it gets a scratch on it, you're going to notice. You're going to be buffing that thing. You're going to be polishing that thing. You're going to be taking care of it. I'll promise you it's not going to sit out in the rain. Right? Why? Because where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is the way it is in life. And so one of the ways that we keep our heart where it should be, we keep our heart set on the kingdom of God, because all those Harleys are going to rust someday and go away. Right? But one thing that's not going to ever go away is the kingdom of God. And Jesus is telling us here, when you invest in the kingdom of God, you're going to invest in something that lasts forever and ever and ever. It's never going away. And one of the ways that we keep our hearts set on the kingdom of God is we invest our treasure there. We invest our treasure in the kingdom of God, and we keep God's kingdom the priority of our lives. Jesus said we shouldn't seek anything else more than the kingdom of God. He said, seek first the kingdom of God. Jesus said this kingdom of God should be your number one priority in life. And when we invest our finances, we invest our treasure in the kingdom of God, it keeps our heart in the right place. It keeps us focused on the right things in our life. Okay, let me give you one more. A third thing that generosity is going to do for you. Generosity opens my life to receive God's blessings. It opens my life. When I'm a generous person, it opens my life to receive the blessings of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 8. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, but whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each one of you should give what he has decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. and God is able to bless you abundantly. So that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. So when we're generous, we open our lives up to a generous God who will bless us abundantly as we're being generous. I want you to do a little something with me. Just take your fist and hold it like this. All right, take your fist. And there's two ways to live life. You can live life like this with a closed fist, with a clenched fist. And this is us grasping everything, holding on to everything. This is us being stingy. This is us looking out for ourselves. Okay? So you can live life that way. Or, now watch this, do this. You can live life this way, with an open hand. Okay, now, first of all, which one actually just physically felt better? Open, right? I mean, it takes a little bit of, you know, you're going to wear out doing that. But when you live life with an open hand, it's just so much easier. Because here's the thing. When you hold your hand like this, when you hold tightly to things, you might hold on to more things, but you also can't receive anything. Nothing's getting out, but nothing's getting in. When you're a generous person, there's more going out, but there also is more coming in because your hand is open to receive, not only to give, but to receive. It is such a blessing to learn to be a generous person. So I want to pray with you this morning, and we're going to talk about a way together that we can become more generous. And we can become generous in a lot of ways, not just with our finances. We talked about the importance of being generous with our words. We should be generous with forgiveness. We should be generous with our love. So many ways, but this morning I want to talk to you about financial generosity. I want you to take this card out that you received this morning with your bulletin. The front of it says, May Day Sacrificial Offering. Now this is something special that we're doing Sunday, May 1st of this year, Sunday, May 1st, we are doing a special sacrificial offering that day for Seeds for the Harvest. And if you're new with us, Seeds for the Harvest is our campaign to pay off our mortgage. We're about $400,000 away from completely paying off our church mortgage that's due in the month of June, all right, of this year. And we are so close. Our total debt was about $1.2 million. We're $400,000 away, so we're roughly two-thirds of the way there. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. We are so close. Now it's time to cross the finish line strong. And so we came up with this simple way that every one of us can participate in this great offering, May Day offering. And here's the idea. Over and above what you normally give to Seeds for the Harvest, and we appreciate some of you. You're giving every month. You're giving $100 a month. Some of you, $500 a month. You're giving every month to Seeds for the Harvest. We love that. We appreciate that. This is a way that every one of us can kind of take the next step and go to the next level in our giving. And we've got several suggestions for you that for the next two months, setting aside money for the May Day offering. All right, and so here's a few ideas that we came up with. You can probably come up with more, but what if you gave up two lattes a week? Some of you, you're a latte a day person. What if you gave up two lattes a week? Or what if you just said, you know what, I'm going to make my coffee at home for the next 2 months, and the money that I was going to spend at coffee, down at Dutch Brothers, down at Human Bean, down at Starbucks, whatever it is, the money I was going to spend there, I'm just going to put that money in a jar, and I'm going to give it in the May Day offering. Okay? So it's just one simple way. That's something any of you coffee drinkers could do. Okay? How about have a movie night at home instead of going out to a movie? Okay? Get a Redbox for a buck. Or do something different instead of spending that money. You say, well, we go to a movie a week, or we go to a movie every month, whatever it might be. Set that money aside for the May Day offering. How about just packing a lunch like Taylor did? Packing a lunch instead of going out. How about saving up your coins? How many of you, you have a place you toss your coins, and you just put them in a I've got a little actual piggy bank that I put mine in. And over time, that adds up. That adds up. So how about just bringing all your coins? The kids are doing that day. All of the children are saving their coins for that offering that day. And we're going to have some big buckets just for coins. Okay? A few other ideas. How about riding your bike to work or walking to work? And instead of the gas money, save up that money you would have spent for gas and give it in the May Day offering. Okay, that might help you in more than one way. How about having a yard sale? It's that time of year. What if you're going to do a yard sale, but instead of keeping the money for yourself, you're going to gather all those things that are sitting around your house, all that junk that just collects dust. You're going to sell all of that, and you're going to give it in the May Day offering for Seeds for the Harvest. How about jewelry? Maybe you got some jewelry you never wear, and it's just sitting around. You can sell that jewelry and use it for the kingdom of God instead of just sitting in a whatever it's sitting in. If you've got some stocks, that you could donate. We actually, several people have started to donate stocks to Seeds for the Harvest, and so we've opened up an account so you can do that. You can transfer stock right to the church, and we're able to do that. Also, income tax refunds. If you're one of those people that gets a refund, God bless you. And so maybe all or a portion of your tax refund you could give in this May Day offering. So the point is, just look for different ways and ask God to give you a great imagination. Look for different ways that on a weekly basis you could say, hey, I can set something extra aside. I can sacrifice something. That's the idea. You're sacrificing something. I'm giving up something so that I can give to something better. And it's something we can all do. We can all do it. And then another little thing we're doing with the May Day offering is on that day, everything that we bring in the offering for the May Day offering for Seeds for the Harvest, this one-time offering, we're going to give 10% of that to the Cambodia team. Yeah. We're going to give 10% of that to the Cambodia team. And so if $300,000 comes in that offering, we're going to give $30,000 to Cambodia. So we're going to give 10% to missions, right? Just right off the top. We're going to give that to the Cambodia team. And so it's going to be a great blessing, not only for paying off our church mortgage, but it's going to be a great blessing for somebody in Cambodia who's going to hear the gospel. And so it's a win-win-win, right? Seeds for the Harvest is going to win. Cambodia team's going to win. And guess what? You're going to win. You're going to win because when you're generous, you always win. You always win. Amen. All right. Well, God bless you so much, church. I'm done. Pastor Ben is going to come and make a couple of announcements and do the offering. And then at the end of that, Pastor Ben, I didn't talk to you before church, but if you just go ahead and dismiss everybody for their 10-minute break. Oh, and by the way, during the 10-minute break, if you're a member, the membership roster is out there. Jim Quiring, our church treasurer, will have that out there. Go make sure that you get checked in at the roster during the 10-minute break. All right. This is a great guy. Would you welcome Pastor Ben this morning?
All right. So we have a couple of just quick announcements. I wanted to let you guys know two really great opportunities. We talk about experiencing God, walk with others, and serving our world. And both of these are going to, in effect, be serving our world. Last couple of weeks, we've had a sign-up table to buy tickets for our Speed the Light BGMC basketball game. Yes, it's going to be awesome. Just to let you know, Speed the Light is a ministry out there that helps fund some of the necessities for missionaries as they're serving in other places. A big one is like transportation, buying cars for these people. What I didn't know before I talked to a guy named Brian Eno on Monday was that Oregon kind of functions as its own thing. We have projects that no other part of the Assemblies of God is paying for. It made me feel like, oh boy, we got better raise some money at this basketball game. The tickets are $2 for students, $4 for adults, and there is a family max of $10. If you were to give me the deal of you, for $10, you can see Pastor Tim play basketball, I'm in. So $10, $2 if it's just a student, whatever it is, come to the basketball game. It's going to be on Friday, March 18th at 7 p.m., and the pastoral staff here, Ron Grimes, are you in? Pastor Ron's in. Pastor Ron's in. Pastor Ron's going to be playing. I had to do that in front of people. Otherwise, he might have said no. I'm playing. And I will say, students, you have a chance this year. I won't say for strategic reasons, but one of our top players is not playing this year. Possibly the MVP of last year's. The MVP. Oh, no, I can't say that with a straight face. A big part of the team. Mostly in heart, is not going to be there. And so students, come out. It's going to be a great game and just a fun night. It's going to be a lot of fun, so you will not want to miss that. There is this thing. It's called spring cleaning. How many of you have heard of it? A couple of you. Great. How many of you have heard of it but have never done it? That would be me. Every year I'm thinking, man, we got to do this year. Let's get out. Well, we can help that. We can help you this year. We have students going to Cambodia, and you can pay them to get your spring cleaning done. Is that not a sweet system? You can be paying money towards the kingdom of God and at the same time get your house cleaned, which is amazing. The minimum cost for that is going to be $20 per hour, and that'll get you two students who will come out to your place and clean up. And it's everything. I mean, if you have yard work you need to get done, you want your toilets cleaned. The students would love to clean your toilets. We got to get Taylor to get back on her regular thing so she's not eating peanut butter and jelly all the time. So let her work it off. We can figure that out for you. We do have a table out in the lobby, but you can also talk to the church office, give us a call, and we will set that up for you. But it's just a great opportunity to, again, help our students make that $1,900, which is certainly a big burden for a lot of them, and so that's a good way we all can win. I'd like to invite the worship team back up and also the ushers, and we're going to receive our offering today. I just wanted to read a verse, actually, oddly enough, out of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, but I'm going to be starting at verse 9, so right where we left off, and it just says, as the scriptures say, they share freely and give generously to the poor, their good deeds will be remembered forever. And when I think about, you know, what I would like to have people say about me, how am I known to the world? I'd like to be known as a person who shares well, who gives generously, and it was remembered for that. And we get an opportunity to do that. As we receive our offerings, remember, they're going to help us experience God and continue to do the services we do. They're helping us to walk with others in our community, and they're helping us to serve the world in a big way. So let me pray, and we'll finish up our service today. Dear Jesus, thank you for your goodness to us. We could never outgive you. There's no amount of sacrifice we could give that would come close to the sacrifice you've given us. We pray that you would bless this offering today and bless those that give. In your name we pray. Amen.